pray for us as we try to preach what the Lord has laid upon our heart. I have a few preliminary verses that I'd like to read before I read my lesson text so that it will give us maybe a little bit of a perception or a perspective of where we're going. If you turn with us in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter and the 10th verse. And I would love to be able to read the whole chapter, but that would take a little bit more time than I would need to spend on these verses this morning. It's 12 verses, and there's some wonderful things here. And after I read them, I will tell you what Isaiah was prophesying here. But Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and the 10th verse. And it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." And I believe that Isaiah here was prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ to come and bear the iniquities, the sins of every person that would ever live. I truly believe that this morning. And I believe that Isaiah prophesied correctly when he says, "For he shall bear their iniquities." And I want to turn over to Matthew and the 18th chapter. And this is where our lesson text will come from. And I know most times people expect the Sunday before Thanksgiving to be a Thanksgiving sermon. And well, that may not be necessarily where we're going, but I believe you can identify with it if you want to. And if you want to connect it to a Thanksgiving sermon, by all means do that. But what the Lord has given us this morning, I would sincerely ask your prayers in. But I want you to remember that what Isaiah says, and he would bear their iniquities. Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 23rd verse. And it says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest." And I thought about these verses of Scripture, and if I had to put a title on it this morning, it would be, "A Debt I Owed But Could Not Pay." And I thought about what some of these terms were in these few verses of Scripture. And I looked them up, and I looked up the denominations of a denarii and a pence and a talent. And they may surprise you this morning of how much this man really owed. This servant that the Lord had called to him, and he says, "I need what you owe me." And 100 pence equals a denarii, and one denarii is a day's wage. And there's about 300 denarii that a person would get throughout a year. They would work all year for 300 denarii. And you want to know how many denarii it takes to make a talent? It takes 6,000 denarii to make one talent. 20 years would take 6,000 denarii. 20 years you would have to work to get this one talent. So if you want to talk about these 10,000 talents that this man owed, it would take him 150 to 200,000 years to pay off this debt that he owed. Now, there's no one alive today or in this time that would live 150 to 200,000 years. There was no way that he would ever be able to pay off this debt. He could work from that day forward all day, every day, and he could never, ever be able to pay off that debt. And I want you to know that the Lord was talking about something far greater than just money here. I believe he was talking about the soul and its condition. I believe the debt that I owed when I was lost and undone without him, I believe it was something that I could have never paid. I don't believe there's anybody here this morning that could ever live 150 or 200,000 years to pay this debt. And there's nobody alive today that can pay the debt that the Lord took upon him when he died upon the cross of Calvary. When Isaiah was talking about bearing the iniquities, I thought about how true that was. You know, I read these verses of Scripture a few weeks ago before this and talking about forgiveness and how we should forgive one another. And I thought about the graciousness, the mercy, the love that the Lord showed us. You want a Thanksgiving message this morning? You want a Thanksgiving message of something we ought to be thankful for? If you've been saved by the grace of God, He has forgiven a debt you could have never paid. There's something to be thankful for in that this morning. There's something to be thankful for a forgiving God, for someone who loved us enough to send His Son to die at Calvary. If that's not something to be thankful for, if that's not something to be happy about, I don't know what would be this morning. I have nothing in this life that God has given me, you know, that I can say that blesses me more than my salvation does. You know, it's far greater than this money this man owed. It's far greater than anything that this world has. You know, we live in a world today where it seems like everybody in this nation included is in debt. You know, there's no way, and I know this and you know this, that the way that our nation is going, that they'll ever be able to pay off the debt that we've amassed. There's no way. But you know what? It's the same way with sin. You know, we all know about Adam and how he came into the world. And I'm talking to people who know about Adam this morning. We know all about him and what he did and what happened when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some people want to pin it on Eve, and I don't believe it was her fault. She was beguiled and she took the fruit first. But I believe it was Adam that the covenant was made with. And therefore, when he ate of it, sin entered into the world. And therefore, there was nobody ever again that would be in the grace of the Lord quite like that, because they would have to be saved. From that point forward, there was a sin that abounded toward mankind, and from that point forward they must be saved. People today believe that those in the Old Testament, that they were saved under a different plan of salvation, and I don't believe that. I believe they were looking for the Lord to come, believing that He would come, and I believe those of us that are here today and have been saved were looking back saying He did come to die for our sins, that He would die in our stead so that we would didn't have to. And I want us to look at these verses this morning in depth, if the Lord will help us. And I want us to think about this debt that we owed that we couldn't pay. You know, I have thought many times about the way that we throw around money sometimes, that we live like we have everything we could ever need. We have all the money that we want. But there are people today that will go so far in debt they can never get out of it. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. I don't know the souls of anybody. I don't know where you stand with the Lord, if you've been saved, if you haven't been saved. What I do know is if you have been saved, your debt has been paid. And we ought to be thankful for it. We ought to be glad that it has, because there was nothing you could do to get out from under it. You had no way to do that. But there was a man sent for you that did. There was a man that justified your soul. He saved you. But if you're lost and undone without the Lord, there was a man sent to pay your debt that you still cannot get out from under unless you get saved. It says, therefore, or because, and Peter, and Jesus told Peter, Peter was asking Him, how many times should I forgive someone? And He told him, He said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So He was saying, you better forgive them as often as you can. And I believe Jesus went on to say this, therefore, because the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now I want you to realize what this servant was saying right here. He knew that he was fixing to be sold, his wife, his children, everything that he had was fixing to be sold so this king could get right with this debt that this servant owed. He was fixing to pay off this debt with something physical. But this servant, he comes to the king and he bows down and he asks him and he pleads his case and he tells him all about it. He says, I'll pay the debt that I owe. I'll do whatever it takes.
takes. I can almost hear his voice as he cries out and he says, I'll do whatever it takes, but don't sell me. Don't sell my family. Don't sell my children. Don't get rid of them. I'll do whatever it takes to pay this debt. And it moved the king. Sure did. It moved him. Because 10,000 talents, you think about that. Can you imagine somebody coming up to you today and saying you're going to have to work 200,000 years to get out from under debt? Every one of us would probably start crying and bawling and saying, Lord, have mercy. No doubt this man knew the kind of debt that was before him. He knew that there was no way he'd ever pay it off. But he knew that he would be indebted to this king. He knew that he would do whatever it took. And I liken that to us today. Every single person that's here this morning, every man, boy, woman, girl, whoever you might be, every single one of us will all come under conviction at one point in our life. Every single one of us. We will all fall before the King. And in the Missionary Baptist Church, we believe in what we call the age of accountability. Every person that has ever lived has come under the age of accountability when they are accountable for the sins, the sin debt that they owe, that they cannot pay. They're all accountable for it. I became accountable for it, and you will become accountable for it. Every single one of us. We all do. Just as this man here, just as this servant comes before this king, the Lord comes by one day and He convicts us. He lets us know we're lost. He lets us know that there's something wrong inside. He lets us know that it's time to pay up. It's time to get right with Him. He knows that. We know that. Some people today try to mask that off as something they can't figure out. But I'm going to tell you what it is. People today that are hurting and they're looking for something in this life to cure that hurt. They're looking for salvation. Everybody today is looking for it. And a lot of people are looking in the wrong directions. But I'm telling you about one today who can pay that debt. He can pay the debt that you cannot. And I thought about, as the servant therefore fell down, after he'd heard what the king's plans were. What's the king's plans for you and I today? If you're lost and undone without the Lord, what was the king's plans for you as you were lost if you've been saved? I'm going to tell you what his retribution was. It was to send us all to a devil's hell. You might say, preacher, that sounds pretty harsh. But I'm going to tell you something. Those 10,000 talents was far more than that servant could pay. But you know what it would have taken for you and I to be saved had Jesus Christ not come and died? I believe it would have taken us going to the exact same cross that He died on. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there's not a one of us that will ever have to go to that cross because somebody else did it for us. This king, he sent his son into the world, and we all know it. We've all heard about this king named Jesus. We've all heard about how he was born in a manger. How he came into this world to save that which was lost. How he came to be the one to be our propitiation, to die in our stead, to be the one that would take the sins of this world, hang them on Calvary's cross, and die for every single one of us. We know that story. And it should move us from the inside out. It should move us because somebody was willing to do that. I don't see any of you all stepping up to say, I'm willing to pay for it. I wouldn't have been. People that were sinners, I want you to know that Christ did that for a world full of people who would never believe in Him. There are so many today that don't believe that who He says that He is. There's many today that look at Him, they laugh at Him, they scoff at Him, and they say, that's not who He says that He is. He's not Jesus Christ. There's still one to come. But I'm going to tell you, the one that died at Calvary was the one who paid the ultimate debt. It was an outstanding debt. It was something that must be paid before people could go to heaven. It was something that must be paid for you and I, because had it not been for Him, had it not been for Him paying that debt, we would have had to. Aren't you glad this morning that somebody was willing to pay that debt? I'm going to tell you this morning, I've never had anybody walk into Regions Bank and say, I'll pay everything that he owes. Nobody's ever done that for me. I'll tell you what, I'd be gracious if they would, but they're not going to. But you think about this king looking down on this poor servant, and I can just see him, if you just open up your mind's eye this morning and just look, and just see him getting down before the king and just crying out before him and saying, please help me, please work with me on this. Please do something so that I don't lose my family, so that I don't lose everything that I've got. Please help me do something. It moved the king. Now, do you remember the night or the day that the Lord saved your soul? and you fell before Him and you were offering Him everything that there was to offer. You were offering Him things you could have never given Him. No, I was. I was offering Him people. I was offering Him my toys. I thought He wanted those. I was offering Him all kinds of things because I thought that's what the Lord wanted. But I'm going to tell you what He wanted. He wanted me. He wanted my soul. He wanted me to submit to Him. And I'm going to tell you, when this servant got to the point where he was willing to do whatever it took, when he said, I'll pay the debt, I'll do whatever it takes, this king looked at him and he said, your debt's paid. Go your way. And then you want to know what the servant did. He walked away from there, and it goes on to say, but the same servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants. After this king had been so gracious to him, after he'd forgiven this debt that he couldn't pay, he knew he couldn't, knew there was no way he could ever pay it, this servant goes out to one of his fellow servants, and he owed him 100 pence. I told you that 100 pence equals a denarii, and one denarii is a day's wage. Didn't seem so much in comparison to those 10,000 talents that this man owed. But he goes out and he grabs him by the throat, and he says, pay me that thou owest. Isn't that like you and I today? Oh, we're not the most forgiving people in the world. I know I'm not sometimes, and that's sad. I should be. I strive to do better with that. Every single one of us should strive to do better with forgiving people. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there's nobody that could forgive greater than our God did. We look at this and how little that this man owed to this fellow servant, that he went out and he grabbed him and he told him, he said, you've got to pay me what you owe me. That's how the world works. But we're serving a God this morning who's far greater than all of that. He looks beyond the small things that you and I do. He looks beyond the faults that I have. He looks beyond the faults that you have. He looked beyond them the day that you got saved, if you've been saved, and He's willing to do that today if you're lost. He's willing to look beyond the debt that's there, and He's willing to save you because one has already come to pay that debt. But you've got to believe in Him. You've got to trust Him. People today have failed in their teachings and their preaching to tell people how they can get this debt paid. You know, I believe that Christ paid the debt for everybody, but it's got to be extended to a person when they get saved. A person cannot pay this debt. It cannot accept. That's the wrong word to use this morning. I'm going to tell you something. I really strongly dislike that word. But every single one of us this morning must accept one thing, that we're all sinners and we're all bound for hell without the Lord. We've got to know that. We've got to understand that. There is no accepting Christ because Christ accepts us when we come before Him just as His king and the servant met together. The servant was willing. He's pouring his heart out. He was offering things. I'd like to know, and the Bible doesn't specifically say it, but I'd like to hear some of the other things maybe that he tried to offer this king. I'll give you everything that I've got. I'll work for you for the rest of my life. And I want to throw this note in here really quickly. For those of us that have been saved, and I'm not preaching a work salvation because there's not a one of us that can work good enough to get into heaven. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. When the Lord saved my soul, and you've heard me talk about a change that takes place, and I certainly believe there's a change that takes place. I'm going to tell you something. The moment that God saves our undying, unworthy souls from hell, we are immediately indebted to Him because of what He did for us. I could spend the rest of my life on my knees, praying, calling out, worshiping His holy name. You could do the exact same this morning. You could give the rest of your life in service for the Lord. You could stay in church all day and never have a thought outside the things of God. You could do that all day, every day, until you're taken out of here and there's no way you could pay for what Christ did for you. He sent His Son to die in your place for a debt that you owed that He didn't owe. The Bible says that He came into the world as a sinner, but was not sin. He never sinned. This was not His debt to pay. But He came willingly. You know, this king could have very well looked at this servant and said, I'm not taking it. You owe me this, and I'm going to get my pay. The Lord could very well have looked at me the night that I bowed before Him and He could have said, I'm still sending you to hell because you're a sinner. You're still lost and I want nothing to do with you. And He would have been just in doing that. He'd have been just in doing that. But But I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm thankful for Him. I'm thankful that He paid that debt. I told you that this wasn't much of a Thanksgiving sermon, and maybe it's not. But I'm going to tell you this morning, every single one of us that have been saved by the grace of God, that has a time and a place where God has saved us, and we know that. We should be able to stand to our feet and say, I'm so thankful that the Lord sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, because I couldn't do it myself. If that's not something for us to be thankful for, and I know in this life that we live, we all have our bad days and our hard days and our bad times. They're going to come. If you live in this world very long, we're all going to have them. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Even on the worst days, God is still so good to me. I look back in my life and I look back to the things that He's done. There's been times that I've been really, really bad to Him. And I've treated Him awful. And He's bailed me out. He's loved me some more. And you know what it's adding to? It's adding to that debt that I owe, because guess what? I still can't pay it. We sing a song from time to time. And actually, when I first got here this morning, I was thumbing through the songbook. And I opened it up. It was "The Old Account Was Settled Long Ago." You know, there was an account made before the foundation of this world. And as people, as Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, just like the national debt clock they have running in Times Square or wherever it's at, and it just keeps shooting up over and over. While we're sitting here, it's just going up millions and millions of dollars. Is that not too how that we are? We're all sinners. That sinful account that we have, it just keeps going up. But the God that I have loved me enough to pay that debt. He was willing to satisfy that debt at Calvary for me. And guess what? Wasn't even born yet. Wasn't even, none of us were even considered yet. But He loved every single one of us enough to do that. I thought about the pearl of great price. And I'm not going to try to wear your patience too much longer this morning. But I believe also, as much as He paid the debt for you and I, our sin debt, I believe He bought something that this world couldn't have bought. Something this world could never have afforded. And you may say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I believe it's His church. You may say, this church has a value on it somewhere. Somebody has it valued. And if it was to be sold, somebody would have to meet somewhere around that value to buy it. There's a definite value that it holds. But the Lord's church, His people, the people that make up His church, and the church is not this building that we're in today. It's the people that make up Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. It's the people that make up Faith Missionary Baptist Church. It's the people that make up Old Paths Missionary Baptist Church. It's the people that make up all of God's churches. Wherever they might be, God sent His Son to die for His church also. And I want to read these verses of Scripture. Matthew in the 13th chapter. In the 44th verse. And it says again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field." Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." I believe that He was speaking of His church. I believe He was speaking of this that we are gathered here together as Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Went out seeking these goodly pearls, and he found one. And it was a pearl of great price. The price that was on it was not numerical. It wasn't something that you and I could ever afford. It wasn't something that you and I could ever make enough money to get. There was no way people today, they will go to a jewelry store. And we were somewhere, I guess it was Thursday or Friday night, and we were around a jewelry desk counter thing, I believe in Sam's Club. And we were going around and we were looking at some of the things in there. I have no idea why I was over there. I shouldn't have been anyways. And I went over there and I looked in, and there was, I guess it was a ring or something, and it was like $4,000 or $5,000. And I thought, heavens, I could never afford that. Why would you buy a ring that costs $5,000? And I thought, well, there's somebody out there that has, otherwise it wouldn't be priced that much. But I thought about that, and I began to think of these scriptures and this pearl of great price. and how much that it must have cost for him to sell all that he had and buy it. What did he sell? What did he go out and he sell a farm? No. I believe he gave his life. He gave everything that he had for his church. He gave everything that he had for you and I. Because why? Because he loves us. Isn't that an amazing thought today? Isn't that a wonderful thought? I have heard a song this week, and it's on the Primitive Quartet CD. Sister Caitlin let us borrow. And the first song on it was "The Pearl of Great Price." Over 2,000 years ago, this man went to the cross of Calvary, and he made a big purchase that day. Oh, it was a purchase, and I believe the account that was there that he purchased, I believe every man, boy, woman, or girl could be saved, and there would still be money left over in that account. Because what he did was far greater than anything you and I could do. I couldn't buy a church. My life wouldn't do that. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came into the world and he was not sin, yet he came into the world as the appearance of sin, he was the one that could. He was the one that could have paid that debt. Now, I don't know any of the rest of you all, and I don't know your bank account situations. I don't want to know. You don't want to know mine, certainly. But there's no way that I could have ever paid that 10,000 talents. There's no way you probably could have paid those 10,000 talents. I didn't look up the denomination that it would have been today in our money. But I guarantee it would have been far greater than anything you and I could ever make. Therefore, I want you to know something this morning. People today think that they can buy their way into salvation. They think they can buy their way into heaven, but there's nobody that can buy their way into heaven because the purchase price has already been paid. And the only way to get there, the only way to get there is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved. There is no other name. There is no other way. And you might say, "Preacher, how do you get saved? How did you get saved if you were lost and undone without the Lord?" You repented toward the Lord. You asked for forgiveness just as much as this servant asked this king. "Please forgive me of my debt. Please allow me to work and pay this debt off." But you know what happened there? He was asking this forgiveness. And guess what? The king looked at him and said, it's done. You're debt free. You don't owe me anything. And I thought about that, and I thought about how it is with Jesus Christ. He could have very well said, when he saved our souls, "All right, I'm purchasing you. You're mine. You're saved. Now be my slave for the rest of your life." And some people today, they'll look at getting saved and they'll look at working in the Lord's church. They'll look at doing things for the Lord. They'll look at it as you're almost a slave to Him. But that's a terrible way to look at the Lord and His service. God's service is far greater than being a slave to Him. It's something that you find more joy and more peace and more happiness in than anything that you'll ever be able to do in this world. There's nothing greater than serving the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've been saved by the grace of God, your desire should be to serve Him. If you think about it, if you really want to think about it this morning, He could have made us pay up. He could have just looked at us and said, "Forget it. You're all going to hell." And then guess where we would all be headed toward? A devil's hell. But He sent His Son to the cross of Calvary for every single one of us. And when He saved my soul, it made me want to serve Him. It didn't make me become a slave. I'm going to tell you this, and don't adhere to it, because people today have said time and time again as missionary Baptists that we believe once you get saved, you can live like the devil and nothing will ever happen to you. I believe God takes His payments out on us sometimes. I truly believe that. I believe that He does that. But I'm going to tell you, when you get saved, there's a change in there. And He makes you want to work for Him. And I'm thankful that it's that way. I'm truly thankful that it's that way. Because I think about myself many times and how merciful that God has been to me. And He has been so, so good to me. He's given me far more than I've ever deserved. I thought about the blessings of the Lord. And I thought about, again, that debt that I owed but I couldn't pay. You know, the night that I got saved, and I may have told this here many times, you know, I had been to the altar in lots of different places. I had prayed in different churches. I had basically just been one of those people that every time they'd give an altar call, I was going to the altar because I wanted to be saved. But I didn't fully want to be saved. And the moment that you realize that you have nothing to offer the Lord is the moment that you'll get sincere about seeking Him. Because as long as people think that they have all of these things to offer Him, they'll never get saved. I'm going to tell you this morning, when people realize that, and I don't want to say this and make everybody go out here and say, well, that preacher said I was the most next to nothing thing that there ever has been. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. In the sight of the Lord and in His goodness and His grace, we are as next to nothing as it has ever been. But I'm going to tell you something. As next to nothing as we might be, He still loved us. He still loves us. Otherwise, most of the time He would take me out behind a barn and beat me to death because I do some of the things that He disagrees with. But I'm going to tell you, He loves us so much. And that debt that I owed but I couldn't pay, I'm so thankful today that He paid my debt. I'm thankful that He did. I'm thankful that He did it for me. And I believe if there had never been anybody else saved but one person, I believe He would still have went to the cross and died for them. I believe He still would have paid the price of Calvary. And I'm going to tell you this morning, and I'm going to try to close. I'd like for us to have a song and have an altar call or whatever. Everybody just continue to follow the Lord. But I want to make this mention. I believe that when the Lord came into this world, I believe He knew that there would be some that would never believe in Him. I believe that. I believe He knew that. He witnessed that as He was on earth. They would mock Him and they would say things about Him. They would try to turn Him around and they would try to make it seem as though He wasn't as good as He says that He actually was. As He was coming through different towns and different places, they would try to make Him look foolish. But I'm so thankful that He didn't stop. I'm so thankful that He went to the cross and He died there for me. And I heard this statement a couple weeks ago and I can't even remember where I heard it, but I believe it to be the truth. It may have been Brother Billy Moran last weekend at that ordination. He says, I'm sad that He had to go, but I'm so glad that He went. I'm so sad that somebody had to lose their life for me, but I'm so glad that He went, because without Him, how lost every single one of us would be. It has been a joy in my life to be able to serve Him, but even more than that, it has been such a wonderful thing to be saved. I don't understand how people can live without it. That's our message this morning, as scattered as it may have been. A debt I owed, but I could not pay. Even as a preacher, how people today look at preachers and now think, well, they're the best that the Lord has got. I'm going to tell you, even as a preacher, there's a debt that I still could not pay. Even the best person that has ever lived, they might be the best grandma, grandpa, little boy, little girl there ever has been, but even as good as they've been, it will never get them into heaven. It never will, because the work that needed to be done has already been done. Therefore, we must come through Jesus Christ. That's our message this morning. A debt